You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we got the full intro. I wasn't ready for that. I was expecting to have to chime in with that intro.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. As you know, they say what Bing is for doing, and what we are doing is our latest podcast. We are doing Justified Season 3, Episode 7. I'm your host. I'm John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by the lovely and talented Tamara Berg, by the not-so-lovely but equally talented Steve Bottomley. In the booth, we have the producer extraordinaire, Phil Svitek, and a very special
guest. Welcome.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you for saying hi, Phil. Very special guest. He's hails from Detroit, which is a nice tie-in to Justified. He's, we could say a... Well, what do we say? A seasoned veteran of the improvisational comedy. He's studied in New York, Improv Olympic here in L.A. You've seen him on hit TV shows like My Name is Earl, Raising Hope, and you've also seen him in movies. We have a new movie coming up for him, which we'll be talking about in our special segment.
Yes, sir.
Please welcome Terrence Bernie Hines.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, we know that you hail from Detroit, which is the nice tie-in because Quarles, our bad guy, hails from Detroit. So it was nice, you were mentioning earlier that you like to hear the references they had from the city, the Motown.
Yes. I love the reference of Gallows in Dearborn on Michigan Avenue.
And you knew all that place, huh?
Oh, is that where Sammy was talking about where
his suit came from?
Yeah,
where
his suit
came from.
So.
Not exactly the best choice of suit, but, you know.
I thought it was lovely.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It was cut nicely.
Very stylish, about 25 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Needed a little tailoring, but it was a nice fabric.
More than a little.
Yeah, exactly. That was nice.
We'll touch that later if you want.
But, absolutely.
You
know, yeah, we'll get into that later. But we're very happy to have you here. We can't wait to hear about what's coming up for you in terms of the movies, et cetera. So we'll talk about that during
a
special
segment. I do have a question, though, about Detroit and you coming from Detroit and listening to Sammy. Now, as a dialect writer, you're going, yeah, I can, there's, you know, that's a good neighborhood dialect or...
Actually, not exactly.
No?
Dialect is natural. It's more of a Mideastern kind of a deal. And but, you know, there's people from all over in Detroit, so you can get away with it.
Yeah, because it almost sounded like emigrated from New York or something.
Right, exactly.
Which can happen.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, people come from New York to Detroit all the time.
Yeah.
Really?
Why?
They go the other way around?
Yeah, it's more of a one-way.
Yeah.
You know,
all right. All right, but okay, so let's get into our show. We'll break down.
First, I just want to say you're a big Justified fan and have watched it from the very
Yes.
So
he's watched from episode one, I would take.
Yeah.
Yes, and have met Graham Yost and love the show, and it's genius as far as I'm concerned.
Isn't it?
Only one problem I have with Justified.
Here we go.
And this is a big problem, but we'll get over it. Margot Martindale is no longer.
Oh, I know, man.
She was. Wasn't that final episode of season two just the best ever?
That was my favorite.
If you have to leave a series,
that's the way to go.
I want to go like that.
Yeah. Go.
And so deserving of the Emmy.
Of the Emmy, yeah. Oh, I was just bawling my eyes out when she won the Emmy. I was so excited for her getting
it.
I walked up to her after at the after party for the Emmy Awards, and she hugged me, but she apologized because her entire dress was dripping wet.
Aww.
She was so...
that's an AfterBuzz exclusive right there, my friend.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
You're not going to hear that anywhere else.
That's right. Right here.
I love that about her. See, it makes me cry even just thinking about it. Because
she's a lovely woman.
She
did such a great job.
I think I'm not sure she's going to be too happy that you outed her with flop sweat.
Well, you know, it was one of those nights.
Yeah.
If you win an Emmy Award and you're going to sweat, that's one time to do it.
That is the time to do it. So.
Sorry.
Flop, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah, it's a great band from the 60s.
Yes.
I have to say, though, I've said this a couple times before on the podcast. I'll say it again. That last season two's finale, I've watched it about five times. Uh-huh. Just for that, especially that last scene that where she's on to know the mystery, as she puts it.
It's such a go-to episode.
Yeah, it's true.
To see. So, and you know, we've often said in this room that it's a good TV show, but they do stuff that I would say I would pay to see that in a movie today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, the level of writing and the level of, you know, acting and the work and everything.
The research that the writers do.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
I know, we get smarter by following up on things they say.
We do. It's true.
Since you brought it up, you dropped the name Graham Yost.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What was that like? Did he sweat all over you as well?
Graham Yost hugged me and he was, no, actually
he
not.
He smelled like a garden.
He was so wonderful. Yeah. I felt smarter just hugging him.
Well, I would imagine that would happen.
He's actually a really, really funny guy.
Is he?
Really? Very funny. I mean, you know, you can tell he's done all these, you know, this is not the first show he's done.
No.
He's a very, you know, seasoned writer and producer and
venerable.
Very venerable guy. He knows what he's doing. Actually, I actually said to him, you know what, Graham, for what you do, it's one of the best shows on TV. And he went, what do I do?
Yeah. I'm not sure. How did he take that?
I think it worked out okay, but I don't think I'll be on Justified this season.
Well, what was the circumstances under which you guys met?
We actually... he had an Emmy screening for the last episode last year.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And
nice.
It was him along with, you know, the stars. And I don't remember the name of the girl that played on the show last season. She's now on Last Man Standing. The teen girl who was Margot's daughter on the show.
Oh, Loretta. She played Loretta.
Mm-hmm. She was there. And I met all of the main cast and the producers behind the show. And they were just like having a good time because they knew they had an incredible show. Yeah. I mean, it's... one of the best shows in years on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we often talk about how we can't believe it's not more of a hit because it is so good. And
I remember the first season, I was the only one in here doing this podcast. Because nobody had heard about it. And then I'm sitting there screaming to get people to watch it. And I turned Phil onto it, then Tammy, and then we got Steve this year and stuff.
And here's the thing. They gave me the DVDs, and you start. And then I started, and then, you know, one kid comes in and goes, what's this? I go, just watch it. You'll get into it. Now the whole family is like, we got to get caught up.
Exactly.
And I know if I gave to my neighbors, it would happen again. It's just
infectious.
Getting it out there.
Yes, totally, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. And it's on cable. And I think that's one of the reasons why not everybody may have heard about it. But once you watch it, you're hooked.
They don't really promote it very much.
But this season they did a little bit more because they did have these bus ads and stuff all over.
That's true. Yes. That's true. They did do it this year.
And I love the salty language on the show.
Yeah.
I
mean, wow, this one was really salty.
Very salty.
Well, first of all, the first 9 minutes were in one segment.
Well, yeah, we
didn't have a commercial until 9 minutes in. So that was really surprising. And at one point, it's always a little surprising to hear the S word on regular TV, you know? Mm-hmm. And boy, they were using it a lot today.
They went there.
Surprising me.
But it'll be interesting if they delete that in reruns.
What if it goes to another?
Well.
No, they'll probably just do another.
Shucks. Put a lot of shucks in there.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. It's an Elmore Leonard deal, and it's just not the same thing. Don't watch it if you don't like that.
Yeah.
There were so many small things in this episode. Just so many small things that when Dodd comes in from the cold back to Limehouse, and he's sitting at the table. I think it's Dodd, the guy that set up the hit.
Oh, Errol. Errol.
His son, Errol.
Yeah.
Close. Dodd,
yeah,
Errol.
Very close.
Yeah.
No, the white guy.
Oh, Tanner.
Tanner. Yeah, close. Todd Tanner.
Todd Tanner.
All right, that's it. You're out.
There's a key in there somewhere.
You're out. So thank God you're here. You can take him. Take over.
See what happens when I go on Twitter?
All right, yeah.
Don't. You become stupid.
All right, well, let's get into the thing that I cracked up at. We've been crazy for the last few weeks because we wanted more Tim, more Rachel, all that kind of stuff. And finally, we got Tim back in on this because Raylan has to ask him for a favor.
Exactly.
And one of the reasons why I love that is because you get to see how Tim treats Raylan.
Oh, which is so fun.
When he's out there in the hauler, people are kind of like, they're careful of Raylan.
And they're a little
know
bit reverent.
Yeah, that's right. You know. Mm-hmm. Not in the marshal's office. No. They give him no respect. They just treat him like a child.
Last I checked, you were also the marshal.
Yeah, I'm working with an eighth grader here.
Yeah.
They treat him like crap.
Got him to do some work.
Exactly.
He really relied a lot on Tim in this episode. And at the end, where Tim says, you left me out to dry, essentially.
Yeah,
you know, you screwed
and no
me.
More favors.
And no more favors, and he just kind of like blew it off.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really an interesting
And it was up because yes. we were talking about how Raylan usually has everything under control. He's just got it figured out, two steps ahead of people. Then I'll do this, I'll do that. He can't even figure out where the guy's staying.
And I wonder if they're doing this to kind of show that he's a little bit lost because he's still distracted over the Winona thing.
Winona
that she wasn't there. In this one, but they have to keep that sort of thing alive.
Yes. And I think what put him off his game, he even mentioned that his quarrels came to his place.
Yeah.
And offered him a bribe.
Right.
He's
off. He's like, whoa.
He did not like that.
No, not at all. Because he even said that to Tim. I leaned on this guy and now he's all up my grill.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really put him off.
He said, he's up in my
shucks. Was that what he said?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He actually went there with that word.
He's up in my shucks.
Up in his shucks.
Way up in my shucks.
He's up in my shucks.
Yeah, and that's even worse than your grill.
It is.
How about Stephen Tobolowsky?
I love seeing him every time I see him.
He's a delight.
He is a delight. He played the Phibby that came in to have that little meeting with Art.
Smarmy Phibby.
That's what he does. Stephen Smarmy Tobolowsky. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And Art's face and attitude through that whole meeting is like, just
what have you gotten? Nothing's going to faze now, him. Yeah.
And nothing's going to faze him. He's just going to have a little fun with the Phibby. And
but that's the attitude they all have because even Tim says you're going to go all railing on him.
Love that line.
That was
hell. So they all feel this way.
Well, I don't even know what that means.
Drag him. Well, he told him drag him out by his nutsack.
Yes,
I'm not even going to touch his nutsack.
I'm going to touch his nutsack.
His nutchucks. I'm not going to touch those either.
Nunchucks.
Wait,
what?
So, but I love that the marshal's office, you know, he seems like a badass everywhere but the marshal's office. Isn't that the way it is? You always get no respect in your own house.
Is that how it is?
No, I'm just talking in general. Like when you go home.
Yep.
You know, you always revert to the role that they put you in when you were a child.
Absolutely.
So you could be the president of some CEO, whatever it is, and you go home and you're just a middle child.
Yeah, exactly. So for sure,
at the Marshall's
office. Stepchild.
Exactly.
That's it.
Now, in the end of that scene, Raylan says to the Phibby, or the Phoebe.
Phoebe.
Yeah, Phoebe, as he calls him.
He said, "Or you have a leaking ship."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, why would Raylan know there's a
Because quarrels came to him.
Okay.
He thought Boyd set him on to him.
Okay, all right.
Right.
And now he realizes it wasn't Boyd. Somebody else knew they were looking into quarrels, so quarrels came to get and say, hey, basically the meeting was, I know you're looking into me, I'll bribe you first so we can be friends.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he must have a leaky ship because he did know about it.
Yeah, exactly. So he knows there's a leak, he just doesn't know where it is.
Right.
And so they know that for sure. And he's trying to, you know, Steven is trying to put a lid on it and not let it get out there because he knows he's got a leak somewhere.
And so there was another line that I thought was very interesting, which is, and I don't know if we can say this, but
you can say it.
There must be a dick test that FBI agents must
have. What kind of language?
You, out!
You people from Detroit!
Excuse me then.
Yeah.
No, have I passed that test? Now?
Yeah, you can say that.
Oh, good, okay.
But that is one of the best lines. Say it again for us, please.
There must be a dick test that every FBI agent must pass.
Again, Art.
Must be a dick test.
You know, and just if you think about other characters saying that line, no one's going to say it as good as Art. You know, that's what I love about this. They set the lines to the characters so nicely.
Okay, now just because of these lines, because I thought the lines in this were the best, but as an actor, you get a script like this, aren't you just going, this is going to be fun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I'm thinking, there must be a dick test that I must pass someday, and I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just good stuff. I love that he said, there must be a dick test.
There's just classic one-liners that's just like thrown all over the place.
All over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was some of the? Oh God, I should have written them down in one area, but there were a couple.
Well,
even the way they
say it when Limehouse is talking to Tanner, and so we got a problem or we got a situation here.
Yes.
Oh, he breaks it up.
McKelty T. Williams.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Michael T. Well, Michael T. or McKelty.
Oh, okay, I thought it was Michael T. Somebody had told me Michael T. is.
And Quarles does it a lot when he just is like, howdy. You know, he's got all these moments that he just plays
I don't work with people I don't know. Well, allow this to stand as our
introduction.
Exactly.
He opens the briefcase of
howdy.
Money.
Howdy.
And the Limehouse line of talking to Arlo saying, as long as you've known me, have I ever been known to play dumb?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I just love that they, you know, let's That's such a boring line. What kind of flavor can we give that?
You know, Quarles is so fun to watch doing that because he plays at one level and he's got this intensity so that when he breaks it up, it's very judicious, you know. And when he does, he's so smart in how he does it.
Yes.
I'm going to go eat a nice plate of steaming shit.
Yes.
Unsalted.
Unsalted.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I have a little something on that.
I love that.
Wouldn't you just go nuts? I mean, that's why I think they get a lot of actors who just are dying to be on this show. First of all, it's Elmore Leonard, because who doesn't want to do that? And then they read the dialogue, or they just see it, and you just go, I got to get on that thing.
I mean, where else, what other show will you find a line like that on? What other movie do you find lines like that in?
Yeah, and on every character, even those that are periphery or tertiary characters, they've got wonderful dialogue.
I wanted to talk about that, the steaming pile of
Steaming pile of shucks.
Interview with Graham Yost, he said his dad did a show in Canada for 25 years all about the movies. Part of it was every year he'd go to Hollywood and interview whoever he could get who was somehow related to the movies. One year he interviewed Richard Brooks, who was a great old Hollywood director and a noted tough guy. My dad did this whole interview with him, and after it was over, they were talking off the mics and heading out, and Brooks said, you know the hardest thing about working in this business, Elwie? And my dad said, what? And he said, all this shit you have to eat unsalted. And so that's where they got the line.
Love that.
Isn't that great?
He took that, put in his back pocket, and said, I'm going to use that sometime.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Does that mean Graham's Canadian?
I think it does. I think it does. I'm sorry. Mm. I don't know that for sure,
well,
but
hey,
that's what it
sounds
like.
Why don't we Bing that and find out?
If I had an internet connection, I could Bing it.
You guys have internet?
No, apparently.
Well, when
we
someone's
don't.
Not on
we're
the telephone,
we're
yes.
supposed to. We're
yeah.
supposed to.
Phil's
so it seems like the past is coming back to Quarles in a not good way because he's getting irritated that his shucks is starting to come up.
Yes.
The shuck is hitting the fan.
Everywhere he turns. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So we finally get to find out why he's been marooned or
sent
shunned.
Into exile.
Exactly.
Exile.
Sent into exile.
Which brings up another point that was incredible research. I don't know how they did this, but being from Detroit, I know for a fact they mentioned that his rent boy that he found on 6 Mile and Woodward in Detroit that he put into a coma. There actually is a 6 Mile and Woodward in Detroit, and that actually is an area where you would go to if you were to do something like that.
Wow.
That's just a small little detail that only someone from Detroit would know.
Yeah, we definitely
good little travel tip for all you AfterBuzz travelers.
Go ahead
and Motown.
Bing
that.
Again?
6 Mile and Woodward.
6 Mile and Woodward.
I mean, I heard. I don't know.
Yeah,
for sure.
No.
As an actor, you have done the research.
Yes,
He heard
he's
him
method.
Say it.
He's method.
And yes, I mean not my method, but not you were saying.
So a little bit of a homecoming sort of thing. You go, oh yeah, I know that kind of know that area. I don't know that area at all.
I've never read small details here and there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Anywho,
well, I'm assuming that reference is also going to. Show up in the storage room.
Right.
Yes.
So let's play that out. So we start to learn a little bit more. We know that he's tooling up
hustlers.
Yeah, big time.
Exactly.
Literally.
So that's every time we've been to the house and there's the room there and somebody tied up and gagged. Now we know. Okay, that's just a little thing he does.
A little stress relief.
Some people play sports.
That's one way. Yeah.
Some people have a drink. He likes to tool up hustlers.
Right. Yeah.
You know. So really, can we judge?
No.
I mean,
elliptical machine.
Yes.
No.
No. Yes.
You know, it's really up to the viewer. What we're going to do.
We're not going to tell him.
That's right. Why should we?
We can tell him to Bing it though.
And we don't know for a fact that the guy isn't a willing participant.
Right.
It might be a thing.
He might be being.
And he might enjoy screaming for bloody murder whenever
it might be his stress relief.
Mm-hmm. He could be paid for this. This is what he's signed on for.
We can never assume anything in this series. This is what we've learned a long time ago.
But the look on his face when Raylan basically said, look, I've read your jacket. You're tooling up the – you know, I was like, oh, I thought I was going to come here to – on him.
I thought this was a fresh start.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I thought we were going to be friends.
Freshness.
And another great moment in there where they're in the bar, and I love that now. By the way, the reason why it was in that same interview, reason why they put Raylan now in a bar is because they're saying there's not much we can do in the office.
Yeah.
And without Winona, he's like, he's in a motel room alone. So they figured, let's just, and that's where Elmer Leonard in his latest book.
Yeah.
Puts his character
right.
in a.
Yeah. I thought, what really? A great move, of course. Put him, you know, put him in a. And I love that.
So much territory to, right, exactly. to develop there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And again, how they do it, they don't say, well, look at the new bouncer. You know, he just comes in and the dialogue is in the moment, you know.
Yeah. And you just have to figure it out and trust that you'll get it.
You have to figure it out and trust that you'll get it.
And for me, the character point is just that he's sunk so low, he's not sleeping over a bar. Well, sorry. Trying to sleep over a bar.
Yeah.
Right.
His wife, not wife, but you know, ex-wife, is, who he was dating, has left him. He has no home. He has no home of his own, and he can't even get any sleep.
And this
I
is
just can't even get any sleep.
I can't get
this
any
is what's
shot.
Great about that, because when you're watching it, you're still you think about all that stuff.
Yeah.
The reason why they don't have to have the phone call to Winona and all that stuff is because you're already doing it yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're seeing him there. You go, you know, if Winona wasn't there, he wouldn't be there. So through that, they're able to keep all that alive.
Mm-hmm.
But when Quarles goes in. And he's going in thinking that I know that this guy's dirty. We're going to have this conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to give him some money. We'll be happy.
Yeah. And when that doesn't pan out, I love how Quarles handles it. It's like, you know, I'm a businessman. I'll just roll with it. It's not until later on in the RV
then you get really pissed
you that you realize.
But he's just going to go bribe somebody else anyway.
Sure.
Exactly.
That's what he does.
Well, and I'm sure it's worked for him.
U of M, go blue.
See, that's real too. They actually
of
say
course.
That.
Yeah.
You gotta listen close, but they drop them in quick.
Go blue. And you know, go I blue. Love the scheming. Everyone on this show has their own scheming and plotting going on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's all gonna come to a head at some point.
Yeah, and I think, especially in this episode, you saw a lot of, because that's what I was, the feeling I got as I'm watching, I go, man, everybody's maneuvering, you know it's all coming. I thought that was for me, it was really successful in this particular episode.
More so than last season.
Yeah.
I mean, last season, it was kind of like the two things. But this time, you don't, okay, so where's Limehouse going?
All
what
these
side
pieces.
Is he
right.
on? Because he's right in the middle.
Yeah.
And then,
exactly.
And so you think Sammy and Quarles is good, but no, you know, Sammy's able to turn and, you know, there's
And Limehouse said he's going to finish the job that his guy
started.
Under him started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is he going to do that?
I don't know, but I mean, that's the what your point is that it's like we're all going, whoa. Limehouse
yeah, because
is now in
last episode he said whoever did this needs to be quiet or go away.
Yeah.
When the guy's right there and he said, no, we're keeping him alive and he's going back to
But he
Quarles.
Also told Errol, we're going to finish what you started.
Right.
And
yes.
you're going to be there every step of the way. And he did it with Big Axe and the meat and blood.
Blood and gut. Yeah. There were lots
and
of guts.
And we got back to the slaughterhouse this time, too, when Tanner comes in. That was, you know, always just the entrails all over
entrails
the table.
Entrails on the table. Yeah, like, you're sitting right there and there's
spill
meat.
Spill your guts, my buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Another great metaphor of just, look, spill your guts.
So he's graduated from Bubba Gump Shrimp Company
yes, exactly.
to this pig slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you go where
he's
you
moving
go.
Up the food chain.
Yeah, kind of in so many backwards ways, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. He's always, I just love that every time he's either barbecuing, he's
still,
in the slaughterhouse.
Still packaging some sort of food.
Yes.
Still in the food packaging
item.
Thing.
It's a Bubba Gump entrails. I don't, it's a, you know, it's sweetbread?
Well,
no? Anybody? Okay, no.
Yummy.
So let's move on from that then. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, so we've got the Quarles and the Boyd thing going on. And again, in this episode, I thought Boyd was really domesticated. He's like bringing, first time we see him, he's bringing the keg in.
Yeah.
Next time we see him, he's cleaning up the bar.
Yeah,
and
I thought that was weird.
Interesting.
Didn't you think? I was
I
like,
did.
Where's the tough guy Boyd? Where's the crazy Boyd?
And
by the way.
He got kneed in the groin and kicked
exactly.
in the butt.
Exactly. And how many episodes?
They're pushing him down.
How many series do you get to see the good guy beat up a guy in a wheelchair?
And enjoy watching
and enjoy
it, too.
Watching
it.
That's right.
That was...
yeah, because we need more people beating up others in a wheelchair. That's what we need.
Well, according to the interview, Graham Yost was saying, you know, Tim Oliphant came up with that the day before, I think, or the day of the shoot. And like, okay, we got to do it quick. You know, we can't do... So they just like put it together real quick and, you know, did it a few times.
Yeah.
And it was like a spur of the moment. Yeah, how about I just beat him and throw him off a wheelchair?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well,
yeah,
you know, what do they always say? They always say they want to be treated like everybody else.
Well, you know, actually, everybody on the show gets the crap beaten out of them at one point or another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Let's not forget, Raylan was hanging in a tree getting, you know, being a pinata. Yeah, so.
Exactly. And by the way, in this show, it's better to get the crap beat out of you
because
the option
you
is
die.
Yeah, you get shot out of there.
I'll pick me. I'll get the crap beat out of me.
You get the script every week. You're probably just go, am I at the end?
yeah, exactly.
I have a line at the end.
Woo!
or in some cases, you get to lose your kidneys. And yes. Who knows what will happen after
all
that?
All four of them.
You know what? Yeah, I have a note here. All four of them.
Right.
That's true.
I've got four kidneys.
Dewey
and Dickie, you know, I mean, there's no reason to go back to them, but don't you just want to like, yeah, how you guys doing? You know what I mean? Yeah.
They'll be back.
They will.
Yeah, he's recuperating.
They're just doing their deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, they keep bringing him out because they love him so much. They can't. Well, Gary. Mm. We brought the character Gary back.
Yes, they did bring Gary back.
You know, for sure.
Very,
he was gone.
Very stupid Gary.
Yes.
God.
The loser. The lovable loser.
I thought the why do you think they spent so much time on the seminar scene with him?
I don't know why we spent so much time. I guess to remind people who he was, and if you hadn't met him before, you would get the context of who he was. Because that seminar was pretty cheesy.
Speaking of smarmy, yeah.
Yeah. So if you didn't know who he was, then you would have gotten enough out of what kind of guy he was.
I have a feeling we're going to see more of him soon.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're going to see more of him.
He's dead in the next episode.
Maybe the reason why we spent so much time there is going to pay off later. But I was watching going, wow, for the pacing of the show.
I thought too. I was like, why? It was a particularly long scene for the rest of the
– It was.
And
for the payoff was
– It could have been just that, well – We don't have enough room to put any more scenes in. We've told our story, so
you got to get out of here.
It's coming.
That's right.
Stay tuned.
So, yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about the squeeze that's happening. I like the parallels between what's happening to Quarles and what's happening to Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these guys who were at each other's, you know, well, they're the ones that had the little tete-a-tete last week, which is, you know, you're a carpetbagger here and we're not going to be partners, and you know, even though Quarles think they can make more money together than apart, but now we see Quarles getting the squeeze from his boss and the son and, mm-hmm. and the FBI and Raylan, and then Boyd's get the squeeze from the sheriff, and so all that's happening. I love the tracks those were taking. I thought they did a really successful job of paralleling that.
Yeah, initially it was going to be the Quarles Boyd fight.
Yeah,
you know, at the beginning of the season, oh look at this, and yet. Yeah. It's not.
No.
They don't have time to fight because...
Right. And the episode is it's man behind the curtain.
Right. Now, you know, yeah, everybody's doing their bidding for them.
Yeah, and who was it that... who said it? Was it Boyd that said, no, I want to know about the man behind the badge?
Right.
So that was the reference to that. So there's always somebody behind pulling the strings.
Also, you know, remember, Quarles went to Boyd.
Right.
And Boyd was the one that said, we're not doing it this way.
No.
And... Here's one thing that I just love watching. When Raylan and Boyd are together, a little bit off, but kind of the same thing. When Raylan and Boyd are together and they're having their discussions,
quote, they're conferring.
I always remember what Graham Yost had said about that, which is Boyd actually thinks at the end of the day that they're friends. Beneath all that stuff, they're friends.
Yeah, they're friends.
Whereas Raylan does not believe that. That at the end of the day, you're an adversary and
we're
not friends. And so that dynamic. If you watch those scenes with that dynamic involved, it's just fascinating.
But they were friends. Didn't they used to be friends?
When they were kids.
Yeah. And then the past, you know.
Well, in the reality, I don't know if you heard about this, but we were talked about it last week, that the actor, Walton Goggins, who plays Boyd, in his mind, he always plays it as if Raylan and Boyd are friends. And Timothy, because they've had this discussion together between Walton and Timothy. Mm-hmm. Timothy says, no. We've never been friends. We're not friends. And Raylan doesn't think we're friends. So the actors themselves have a difference about how they approach the role. So we find that fact.
Which is great.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Because it doesn't matter. It still works. Yeah, totally. Either way, any way you want to do it.
But the underlying stuff is awesome. Yeah.
Just one thing we were talking about, the little things that were peppered in. And remember, mm-hmm. we've been talking at all this season that Graham Yost was talking about how I need to remind people that Walton, as charming, not Walton, Boyd, as charming as he is and as refined looking as he is, he's a bad guy. And so there were two things that I thought were really fascinating. One was... when Raylan came into the bar and he was carrying the keg, Boyd was carrying the keg, the first shot of him, Boyd standing there at the bar, and there's a neon sign behind him that's got a long horn.
Got long horns, yeah.
And he's got
in red.
He's got horns coming out of his head.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know that framing can't be a mistake. No. There's just no way.
No. They put red horns on him.
Nice.
So funny. And then later there was, I think it was when, I can't remember who was talking to who. It was when Shelby and Boyd were talking
right.
at the end.
Yeah.
The shot of Boyd, he looked like a skull. His face looked like a skull.
The way they
eyes
lit him.
Were really
exactly.
sucking in and you could really see that definition on his right. face. And I thought, wow, they are really doing a great job
of making him deal with the devil, perhaps?
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of metaphors in this. We're talking about Sammy's suit. And how it, like, because that's the first thing I noticed. It's like, this doesn't fit.
Sammy, who is the son of the Detroit mobster.
Right, exactly. Who Quarles does not like because it should be Quarles' job. And here's and the guy that he's going to eat a big plate of shucks.
Wonderfully played by Max Perlick.
Yes.
Perlick. The suit doesn't fit because he's not ready for the position. He's trying to wear the clothes of his father, and they don't fit because and everybody sees it but him.
And how quickly they get Raylan gets him into the round barn.
Round barn, yeah.
He basically walks in and goes, "Don't kill me, I'll tell you whatever."
Yeah, exactly.
He's a real tough guy.
And then they actually talk about the suit.
They actually talk about the suit without saying that suit doesn't fit you and without saying the metaphor about how you can't even fill the suit, all that kind of stuff. But they say it without saying that.
Right.
You know, the saying is dress the part, not dress the part and hide behind your daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Dress the part, be the part.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, can I bring up the little bit of news we know about Daddy?
Yes, bring it up.
So Daddy, Theo Tonin, I'm not sure what the character is.
I believe it's Tonin, but I'm not sure. The mobster from Detroit.
So Dad, the big boss, will be coming in episode, the finale episode and the one or two before that.
Love that.
And it is going to be played by Adam Arkin.
Adam.
Really?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yes.
Not,
perfect.
I mean, for me, at first glance, I wouldn't go, mobster, Detroit.
Right.
Adam Arkin.
But he has.
But that's why I think it'll be great.
He has directed five
that's
episodes.
Great. Yes, he has.
Justified.
He's directed five
and
episodes.
So I'm sure that had a lot to do with them bringing him in. And I'm a big fan of Adam Arkin.
Yeah, he's terrific.
I think he's fantastic.
I can't wait
to
see what he does with it.
I could be wrong. And I may be wrong.
That's okay.
But I believe Adam Arkin is from Detroit.
Oh.
Really?
So if we ever get internet, we can check that out.
Yeah, if we ever do.
What would we use?
We'd have to ask Alan to see if
we would use. Graham Yost is from Canada.
Graham Yost is from Canada.
Okay.
And, all right, give, what?
Adam Arkin.
Yeah, not
fabulous
Alan. That's
actor.
His dad. So Adam. So you know who knows.
So Phil, you've locked the internet in your little booth over there.
Yeah, he's got all the Wi-Fi right there in the booth.
He's got all the Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
He's quarantined.
We got to make sure these shows are in HD.
Wi-Fi.
That's right.
Got to make sure the fans come first.
That's
I gotta
right.
Tell you that.
No.
And by the way,
I love Adam Arkin. By the way, incredible actor.
Mm-hmm. I know he's amazing.
Totally and his father's not bad either.
Yeah, his father doesn't.
His dad did okay.
He's had a decent career. You know. Whatever.
While he's looking that up, I have one little other little bit of news
from Graham.
It's actually just like news and gossip because we're going to use our special segment for something
That's
else.
Right.
So I'm just going to pepper this
something
in here.
Something even more special.
So Natalie Z, who plays Winona, you know, she wasn't in this episode. We do see she's in next week's episode.
Right.
But the interesting news is that she has gotten a new job.
What?
Very interesting.
So she has been cast in an untitled.
She's no longer a court reporter.
She's no longer a court reporter.
Okay.
She's been cast in a new pilot on Fox that's untitled, where she plays the wife of a serial killer who's setting up a whole community of serial killer.
Wow.
Monsters.
She goes from Harlan County to serial killer.
There's a lot of speculation that she's going to get killed off.
Ooh.
Now, I mean, it could happen either way because obviously actors do more than one show at a time. Sometimes she could also make special appearances, but. That would sort of bode.
Justified's known for killing people off.
Right,
so.
Exactly. It sort of doesn't bode that well for Winona.
Training
maybe
there.
She's going to go to know the mystery.
Is it called Slashford Wives?
It doesn't have a name.
Okay.
But that's a good guess, Steve.
Copywritten. Bing!
Thank you for the scoop.
That should be interesting.
Get that exclusive.
So.
And, I hope she doesn't get killed.
Hold on.
He's from Brooklyn?
Oh, wow.
Same thing.
Detroit, you know?
Which is a section of Detroit.
Well, you said that there's a lot of cross back and forth.
Yeah, back and forth, multi-pollination.
You know, if you grew
it's
up
just
in
a
California,
bridge. You go from the bridge.
Anything after Colorado is all Brooklyn and Detroit, so it's all a blur. Okay.
There you go.
And some corn, evidently, so I heard.
Okay. That should be funny.
We are all over our topic list. We're just kind of going all over the place.
Yeah, I like to keep it freeform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps everybody on their toes.
I have a question first.
Yeah.
Is there any word as to whether or not Adam's character will carry on into the next season?
No word yet. But we do know he's in the season three finale.
I'm guessing that they won't kill him off for a number of reasons. One, you normally don't kill that. If he's in Detroit, he'll probably stay in Detroit. But who knows what will happen to his son.
Right.
But it would be nice to keep him there because... you just bring him back here whenever you need to.
Yeah.
Right. I would. Yeah. That's what I
and,
would do.
You know, he's directing a few shows, so maybe you don't want to kill him off. I don't know.
And what are the chances of getting another Emmy over a death? Seriously.
So well, that's you're going to get that finale,
easily.
Right.
Well, here, yeah. Yeah. There's yeah, a. Yeah. There's a.
How can you avoid it here?
There's an election in town.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes. So the sheriff.
The sheriff.
Oh,
and,
yes. And interesting.
And he's running unopposed at the moment.
At the moment.
Yes, at the moment.
However,
but not for long.
Mm-hmm. However, they buy votes in a weird
very
way
strange
over there.
Way
yeah.
And who would have thought Boyd would get into kingmaker role? I mean.
Again, right? The beginning of the season, we're going, oh, it's going to be this battle of, you know, the you know, unknowing, the right. unaware Detroit against the Savian. No, now it's chess playing yeah. and king making. And by the way, they figure, yeah, let's have an election, right? Because you know, there's one in the real world, so
yes.
why the hell not?
Yeah.
Let's introduce this.
Mm-hmm.
And just the quarrels in the sheriff's office. Again, I swear I could just sit and watch a quarrels show of just watching this guy work.
Isn't he great?
Just, yeah. He's total control of it, even when, you know, he's not sure. Total control.
Well, you were talking about small moments.
You ain't slid it back
yet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You ain't.
Yeah. One of my favorite small moments of this time was when he brings the boss's son into the house where all the machines are and
the clinic.
The clinic, uh-huh. quote, clinic that's in the home. And the boss, they're just touring around. The boss's son goes, what's in there? And he points to the room.
Storage room.
Yeah, it's just storage. And they just keep going. They don't say. And of course, we're all laughing our butts off when that
exactly.
happens because we know what happens. Then. And then they follow that later when he's in the mobile home with
Duffy.
Wynn Duffy and says, paint the room. You can't paint
blood. Paint over blood.
Bloodstains.
And then he just gives him the look.
And you know, that's one of those things
I'll
I really hate.
Yeah. Because we've tried many times. It
so
doesn't.
Many
it just
times.
Does not paint over.
It's incredibly annoying.
Have you tried kills?
Duffy.
What?
Have you tried kills?
Kills.
Stainblocker.
Well, excellent.
Thank God. Thank God we have.
Before
an expert,
and after.
And gentlemen.
Not that I'm from Detroit. But.
Yes.
the what part of Detroit did you come from?
Cover up of choice.
Yeah, what kind of youth did you have?
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Really?
When the evidence absolutely needs to go away.
Story of a whole other episode.
Use kills you know, before and after.
You have no idea.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what.
That's why it's called kills, people.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. It wasn't a mistake.
Yeah.
I don't know what's scarier: is being in a room when Quarles is in a good mood,
yeah.
or being in a room when he's in a bad mood.
Yeah. Because if he's in a good mood, he wants to beat somebody.
Exactly. And if he's in a bad mood, he's just going to do it
he's
more.
He's going to kill you.
Yeah. God.
What was the other fun? Well, there's just so much of it was the fun this week. I'm glad we popped over and popped around. I didn't want to go linear.
Just quickly, one other line that was kind of dropped. Make sure our friend is still in Tulsa.
Right.
Between Wynn and Quarles.
Yeah,
so,
and of course we don't know who that is.
We have no idea who
that
is.
That was Gary.
Yeah, no, but we didn't know who it was when he said it.
Oh,
that,
right.
Just that little...
Oh, man,
little,
I thought, that's why. I thought for a second I was ahead of the curve here.
No.
Well, you were for part of the curve.
Well, in your mind, you were.
In your mind.
One second.
You're a legend in your own mind.
Oh, my God. Right? You should hear the applause going on right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right. What? Oh, you know the other thing we didn't talk about was the little great meeting between Boyd and Limehouse. Because before, every time they'd had those meetings, Boyd was kind of, on the soft sell.
Yeah.
And he was behind. He was like
a little bit subservient.
Yes, exactly. And the whole thing about last week. Well, we know who you are, and we know,
yes.
and they know
and
who
they
everybody is, and Boyd is clearly. Behind the curve on this one.
There's two
Not
things
today.
That, no, two things that happened in there. One, Limehouse basically said, you're not the top cock anymore.
Yeah.
That Quarles has got the guns and the backing, and we don't have faith that you're going to walk out of this.
Right.
And the other thing is, I'm not giving you all the information unless you ask. And both of those things piss the hell out
yes.
of Boyd. Mm-hmm.
I like that. But just the visual, they had the money. He finally makes his deposit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now give me the information. Mm-hmm. And even still, it's only going to be what you ask. And you have to come up here to get it. And Boyd's like, no, I'm not playing that game.
Yeah.
We see just a smidgen of the real Boyd underneath the surface at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He finally shows a card or two.
And they tied those two points up nicely because, you know, I think Boyd's thinking Limehouse can do that because he doesn't think Boyd has the juice or the power anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So Boyd is seeing the shift happening.
Right before his eyes, yeah.
Right before his eyes, and peripherally, which is bad for him. So, you know, that I was surprised to see it. I based on the previous meetings, I didn't think Boyd had that sort of, you know, disrespect for Limehouse. That he didn't really show disrespect.
No, I don't think he showed disrespect. I think what he was showing was showing, I think he felt like, okay, he's not respecting me in my position, so I need to let him know where I'm coming from.
Right.
I think it was that.
He's got some stuff going on.
Yeah. That was a skillful move with, you know, deciding to get somebody else to run for sheriff.
Yeah,
I think he's got the pull.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
And that was great to see him back.
Shelby.
You know, for anybody who doesn't remember, yeah, Boyd took care of a blasting
incident in
the mine.
Yeah, they were going to rip him off.
Yeah, exactly. And then he saved Shelby's life, so Shelby kind of owes him one. Yeah.
I love how this show just brings people back, you know.
Yeah.
They can be gone for most of the season and then come back in an episode, and then they have no own arc going on.
And they've actually mentioned that in a couple of interviews that we've read, that they really like trying to bring somebody back that the audience already knows, so they don't have to explain who they are again. And they really like the work that everybody's done, so they keep looking for ways to bring people back who've done really good work for them. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win.
And
for
it
everybody.
Also does give you the feel of a small town,
you know,
where you're going to run into these same people over and
excellent
over.
Point.
Exactly.
And it's really nice to see them, kind of check in on how you're doing, and you're in the back, so you'll probably die, but until that happens, it's good.
Enjoy.
To
enjoy.
True. Yeah. Exactly.
I've got a question about the first scene.
Yeah.
Where Arlo is wandering looking for his wife.
His former wife. His
former wife. And my note here is, where are they going with this? Because we spend a bit of time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, why and where are they going? Because there was a bit of time with that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, so that whole scene was to get Arlo back on his meds? I mean, what was that really about?
I think it was following that through thing, that through line, because they've set it up. And I'm assuming they're going to be using Arlo. They're trying, you know, right now they're painting it like, okay, this is happening to Arlo, and it doesn't really affect Raylan, because when he went into the bar and Boyd told him all about it, Raylan really didn't pay attention.
Right.
But my guess is at some point it's really, somehow it's going to affect him, because we only care about if it affects Raylan.
Well, and I have info on that about this, Graham Yost. He said, you know, he often says this in these interviews, he goes, you've got to pay attention.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And so this is one of those things, it's not a throwaway like so many of them, it is something to pay attention to. And he says that there's a lot of undercurrent stuff going on this season between Raylan and Arlo.
Yeah.
And we that will be have surprising impacts in the end of the season.
Because if he starts going more and more towards the dementia side, the things that would normally pull them apart are going to dissipate because of what's happening, which is more important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're probably going to see some sort of connection between the two, which we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be exploited for some reason, or we're going to see a side of Raylan that we haven't seen yet.
Right. And, you know, it's sort of that classic thing of, yes, he's a marshal. Yes, he's a lawman. Yes, his father is lawless.
Right.
But there's still blood.
A father-son relationship that has been unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Right. And blood is everything.
And the closer that death comes, the more all the other stuff fades away, because you realize, look, I don't have time to.
That's right.
I don't have any more time with him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
So something's got to, you know, it comes to a point where you want to resolve it, or you want to at least deal with it in some way. At least dramatically, you want to try to deal with it. Right?
This show does not waste a second as far as what goes up.
Or a word.
I was just really curious to know what they're trying to tell me about Arlo.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and that he pines for his wife.
Yeah.
You know, he's
it's dementia, but
you know.
And he's not on his meds. And even with Ava's help, he's still not really taking him.
Right.
So it's only going to get worse.
Mm.
That's right.
Mm. It's only going to get worse.
You think he'll die?
Arlo?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I think this is probably.
Because, you know, they keep pulling things away from Raylan. As much as he doesn't really get along with his father, that relationship, whether good or bad, has created who Raylan is. So you take the pillar away, you take the former wife pillar away, you take the home life, and all of a sudden, where's his ground? I can't depend on that relationship
anymore.
He's a
bouncer in a bar part-time.
Exactly. So now what is he?
Right. But that could be really exciting for what happens in the end of the season.
That's what I mean. That's why I think it's a great idea.
It's taking off all the reins of Raylan, and he will be just
everything that he's relied on and can depend on is going to be taken away from
him. That's right.
Plus, if Winona stays involved in some fashion, or she's pregnant,
and
the child does come.
I tell you, she's not having that baby. I'm just telling. Okay. I've told you last week. Okay. I know it's
going to
happen.
But now he will be a father, so there is going to be all of this that he needs to deal with as well.
All the other layers as well.
All the other layers.
Yeah. But one of the questions I have is Arlo going to die a happy, peaceful death, or will there be violence involved?
Wow, this is definitely going to the brain.
Thank you very much.
He's going to
The question is, no such thing as a happy, peaceful death.
In Raylan's arms.
The question is, how many different guns are going to be used?
Right. Yes. How many times is he going to be shot?
Yeah.
Or will it just be guns?
Yeah.
Just really quickly, what was the body count this episode?
None. No dead bodies.
Zero. No dead bodies.
There were a couple of dead hogs.
Yeah, right? That's true.
That's it.
That's right.
No dead humans.
You need to be specific. How many dead humans?
No dead humans.
Okay.
After each episode, there's three things I want to do. I want to learn how to play the banjo.
Yes. Yes.
I want to go get some barbecue. And I want to slug back some whiskey.
I know, so do I. I'm desperate.
I know.
We should do that for the finale. We'll drink whiskey for the finale.
They make it look so
On that note, I think we ought to go to our break. So, Phil, if you would be so kind, would you send us to commercial break?
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds. Like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Yeah, here we go. Good. All right, and we are back. Okay, for our special segment today, rather than talk about Justified, because I think we covered that wholly and completely.
Thoroughly,
so I don't even need to go further with that. What we want to talk about is A Thousand Words. This is the movie you're going to be – it's premiering on the 9th, am I correct?
1 week from today.
Yay. 1 week from today. It comes out, so everybody go see it. So
besides you, there are a couple of other people in the movie.
Yeah, but who cares?
There are a couple of others in the movie.
Notables? But we don't. Besides you?
Yeah. Okay, since you asked.
Yeah, we did ask.
You dragged it out of me.
Yeah.
It stars Eddie Murphy.
Oh, who? That guy.
Who? This young up-and-comer? Has he done anything before?
Yeah, co-stars Eddie Murphy. Kerry Washington, John Witherspoon, et cetera. A few other people we're
besides
also.
Besides you.
Exactly.
And you want to give us just a brief synopsis of what the movie is?
The movie is about Eddie playing a literary agent who will say and do anything to close the deal.
Okay.
I mean, literally, he'll say, and he will lie, and all he thinks about is just making that money.
That's it. That's what he cares about, yeah. Seen it all the time.
He hears about a special Deepak Chopra or kind of guy, that does these self-help things that he's world famous for. And so he's written his first book. People have been trying to get an interview with him or getting him to write something down forever, and he's never done it, except he's finally decided to write a book. So Eddie, being the guy that he is, decides to go and close the deal with this guy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there we go.
He says
bad
anything.
Mistake.
He will say, exactly, bad mistake. He says lies, and he says what he has to say to get him to close the deal to be his agent. But because he does that, the guru basically hooks Eddie up to this tree called a Bodhi tree, which
it's a Bodhi tree.
Exactly, there is a Bodhi tree.
Oh yeah, I'm very familiar with it.
And so, because they become hooked at the in terms of soulmates or whatever, every time Eddie says another word, a leaf drops, and apparently there's only 1,000 leaves on this tree. And at the end of the last leaf, Eddie is no more and the tree is no more. So he dies.
Uh-huh.
So he has to learn a lesson and he learns it the hard way. But
to keep his mouth shut, basically.
Basically, pretty much throughout most of the movie, he has to keep his mouth shut.
So what's your part?
I play a literary agent with Eddie. Eddie's been trying to mentor and also get to, he's kind of helping.
To follow in your footsteps? To follow in his footsteps?
Well, along the ways with women.
After Buzz exclusive.
Yes, exactly. He's teaching me how to, get the girl.
How to court? woo the women?
And yes, something like that. Mm-hmm. And some hilarious.
He's giving you game.
He's giving me a little bit of his game.
Exactly. And are you reticent, or are you just like, okay, let's?
Oh yes, I'm totally into it.
Okay,
I am totally into
fun.
It.
Nice.
I'm gonna have some fun.
There you go. Good. Yeah. Hey. This is gonna be a lot of fun.
But I'm not quite the guy that he is. Let's just put it that way.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be fun. How was the experience working on the movie?
Oh, man, it was great.
Did the improvisational stuff kick in? Did you get a chance to really play around in there? Or was it fairly tight with the script?
No. It was, you know, it's funny. There's some very serious parts in this movie that he has to play because he has to learn a lesson. And, you know, when I first met him on set, he was in a serious mood. And, you know, I kind of had to lighten things up a little bit, you know, because I was wondering, why is this guy so quiet? He was just doing his thing as an actor. Mm-hmm. But once we actually got working, you know, it was like tennis. Like we started improvising back and forth with each other. And, you know, I would do something not in the script. And he would go, oh, okay, check this out. And he'd throw it back at me. And we kind of like had this riff going back and forth.
That's great.
And the director, Brian Robbins, who's, you know, he's either written, directed, or produced hundreds of shows.
Yeah, he's done a ton of things.
He just let us go with it.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of freedom then. That's a lot of fun. A
lot of freedom. And, you
know, it was playtime on the set.
It was playtime. And Eddie respects people that, you know, just do their thing.
They can get out there and just do it. Right?
Yeah, he does not. Remember the movie he did a long time ago, Beverly Hills Cop?
Oh, sure, of course.
Brandon Pinchot.
Bronson
Pinchot. He stole the scene that Eddie did.
Yeah. Bronson made up most of that scene. He just kind of improv that.
He just kind of like
and that character and the whole thing. Yeah,
Eddie loved it.
Yeah,
he let it go and made that guy let him went on to be a star.
He has a career because of it. Yeah,
which is he's quite a humble guy.
Yeah,
and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that shows a hell of a lot of confidence in somebody at that age who said, "Yeah, let the guy go."
Yeah.
Well, it's incredibly smart because
it made the scene.
It made the scene.
He was in it, and everyone that looks at it goes. Wow, that's so good how they did that scene.
Remember that scene where that guy was with Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Because they remember it's Eddie Murphy.
That's right.
It made him look just really funny without doing anything.
That's
so
terrific.
Totally. It's very smart.
That's really exciting. I can't wait for that to come out. That should be a lot of fun.
And I don't know if you guys have seen the previews with Kerry Washington.
Yes.
No,
I haven't.
I love this woman. She's such a great actress.
Uh-huh.
That's all I have to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. We'll keep it on the QT and the rest.
No, but you have another. Is it a
please do?
You have another. Is it a film coming out? Rush Lights.
It's a murder mystery starring Beau Bridges and, coincidentally enough, his son Jordan Bridges.
Oh,
and it's quite a good movie.
Jordan,
yes,
and he plays it's quite a good movie. So it's all done, right? And when does it come out?
That's I believe it's coming out a month later.
Okay, so you've already seen it then.
Well, you're on fire.
Nice.
Well, you know. I try to be.
Yeah.
I try to be. That's what I can say. And I have other things kind of like in the works that I can't talk about this second. But I'm having fun. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, well.
Look for more.
Are any of those for public consumption or should we not ask about it?
Well, where do they stay updated?
Yeah, how does everybody find you? Where can our fans check you out?
You know, on Twitter, you can reach me at TB Hines on the web, TerrenceBernieHines.com. You guys can see this and you'll read my
and
lips.
And for the benefit of our iTunes fans, just can you give us a read of the letter by letter? Because we have thousands of audio listeners versus the video ones. And stuff.
Yes. And by the way, I'm a fan too.
I
love
you
guys'
AfterBuzz.
Thank you. Well, we're so happy. Hey,
go ahead. Who do you like best?
right now I'm talking, so let's just listen.
So not you would be the answer.
TerrenceBernieHines.com. And you can also reach me on Facebook as well. I have a bunch of stuff happening.
So we'll look there to find out all that.
Look there. It'll be coming up. And who knows, maybe one day I'll even come back on the show with you guys because I'm having a blast.
We'll have to do your movie. We'll see if we can do a podcast in 1,000 words. That would be fun.
Real fans are welcome anytime. Actually, any fans are welcome anytime. Tweet us. Call us. All that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that was one of the other things that we wanted to mention to our iTunes listeners is write us comments on the iTunes page.
Absolutely.
Ask
Give
questions.
Us a comment.
We really appreciate the comments if you can give them. Just take a minute.
Let us know how we're doing.
It helps us out a lot and keeps us going.
Yeah, really. And, you know, when we do get those comments, we'd like to incorporate ideas or whatever that come
absolutely.
To us.
So,
and if you just want to friend us or thank us or like us or whatever they do on those fancy interwebs.
Send money.
Send money. If you hear something on the show and, you know, what's about that?
Or you want to know more about something? Like we had that great thing on with the marshal. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
We all go
the marshal.
He was the first real marshal. He was the first African American marshal.
Yeah,
they mentioned him in one of the
Yeah. And this guy was a badass.
Oh my God,
he would have to be.
Yeah, he was terrific. Yeah. He was amazing.
It's a great story.
I can't remember. His name.
You know how you can find
tell
out
me later.
Bing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And check the archives.
Bing it.
Okay. Well, I think we have come to the close. Oh,
we're
going to do predictions.
We have to do predictions.
Predictions. All right.
Predictions.
Okay, does anybody have anything off the bat?
Gary's going to die.
Dang it.
Very good. That's what I was going to say.
That was mine, too.
Wow, that was mind-blowing.
You got to get there quick.
Okay. Mind-blowing. How did she come to that?
Sheriff's going to die.
Sheriff
will die, definitely.
Sheriff's going to die.
That's not really a prediction. That's just in the upcoming.
Yeah. Well, no.
My prediction is this is Arlo's last. I think Arlo's.
I have one. Quarles will die.
Quarles.
Probably not to the end of the season, but he will die.
I'm going to second that. I'm going to go with him on that one.
Right on.
I think it's going to be a bloodbath at the end.
They won't be able to clean up the blood either.
So no. Not even using kills. Not even kills.
Invest in kills if you're going to work with Quarles.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Exactly. Now, with bleaching action.
Right.
I think from here to the end, well, maybe not. Well, what I'm hoping is that they're going to do a race. Is that, you know, we're getting towards the finale. I kind of want to see more energy.
It's going to ramp up.
This. Yeah, because now we've met all the players.
Yes.
Yep.
We've seen all the machinations. Yep. We'll have a little bit more about that in the next episode and one more, and then it'll be race to the end.
Bass Reeves.
Yes. That's it. Bass Reeves is the marshal.
You got your name.
First African American marshal.
Fascinating. You should look him up.
Yeah, I'm check really him out. Interesting.
So, yeah, they talked about him on the season. Okay, I'm hearing the rollout music. We got to get out of here.
You can catch me at Tamara Jewelry on Twitter, and also TamaraCentral.com is my website.
Bottomly Steve, Twitter.
And one more time, Terrence.
At TB Hines on Twitter.
Okay, Phil, you want to let them know where they can see?
Where they can see what?
Where they can catch you?
AfterBuzz TV.
There you go.
AfterBuzz TV.
Sounds
and
good.
You can catch me running for the bus.
thank you for being with us,
on behalf
Tara.
Of AfterBuzz TV.
My pleasure, guys. That was
wonderful.
I'm going to say goodbye to for Phil, for Tamara, for Steven, and thank you so much again. It's a pleasure having you. We hope you come back.
Yay.
Can't wait to see 1,000 Words coming out next week, March 9th, and
awesome.
Then Rush Lights comes out
awesome.
In another month.
In April, so we'll look for that as well. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you next week.
Yay!
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.